The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, June the 4th, 2025. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
All right, I'm back.
Right. You're back.
I'm back because I was out for 2 weeks, and now I was here yesterday, here today. I'm back for good.
Back for good. Till next week.
Yeah, that's right. We were to my schedule. I'm back on schedule.
Yeah, back on schedule. Back on schedule. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Here on schedule.
And let me just say.
Yeah.
It's Fred's birthday today.
Hey.
I'm not singing, but I just wanted to wish Fred a happy birthday.
Well, thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Fred.
Thank
you.
So,
how many years have you been on this earth?
71.
All right.
71 as of today.
Right.
You don't look a day over 70.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate
probably that. Can you still ice skate? Could you still play some hockey?
When they have ice in the local arena here in Tupelo, about 3 weeks of the year, I put the skates on and go.
Good for you.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
Enjoy it very much.
Well, happy birthday, my
friend. Well, thank you. Thank you. I am blessed.
We're not going to sing.
Enjoyed hockey, but
now
play hockey growing up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know this.
You grew up in Canada.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Did you play high school and college?
I knew you grew up in Canada, but you just made it sound like it's an automatic.
Yeah. Middle school, high school.
It's part of being a citizen. You have to go.
No, I think when you grow up in Canada, it's a rite of passage.
If
you play hockey or you're a sissy.
But I mean, you played on a team.
That's one or the other.
You played on a high school team.
Played on a high school team. In fact, our team, last weekend, there was a major celebration in my hometown area, Sydney, Nova Scotia, where our team, our high school team, was inducted into the Cape Breton Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And I mean, he's the real deal.
I thought Dad was going to say you played hockey in Canada or you got deported.
Well, that is true, probably. You know, my question, one question I have about hockey is, do they even broach the subject of sportsmanship?
It's actually a lot of sportsmanship at the end, at like a playoff series.
Yeah,
the teams line up and shake hands.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got my tongue halfway in my cheek here
on this one.
You know, because there's just so much fighting in hockey. That's why you wonder, do they?
But you got to watch it carefully because sometimes after the fight quotation marks is over, they kind of laugh at each other. You know, it's kind
like
of
we gave the fans what they wanted.
Well, no, it's just not to your point because this is
right. Be careful when you say to Tim's point.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Because sometimes players will be mic'd up like they do in other sports, and it's not unusual for guys who have just fought say, "Hey, good bout, good fight."
Yeah.
And it's just because of the fighting.
Please hand me my eye socket.
Yes.
Oh. And then we'll move on.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm trying to make some serious points here.
Listen, you're not going to get seriously hurt when you're covered up the way that players are.
Except for your fist.
Well, but you got a helmet on. You know, that sort of thing. Now, they do try to pull the jersey over the head.
Yeah.
So they have greater flexibility in where to hit.
They do that in pro wrestling.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? For those who wear shirts. All right.
You know, people ask me, do you remember when the first time you went skating? And I honestly, I don't.
Was that early?
It just happens.
Right.
You know.
Back to Dad's point.
Yeah.
You're right.
In Canada, man, you grow up.
I was trying not to profile. Go ahead, Dad.
No, they bring you home from the hospital, and they put you in the baby crib, and they put some skates on you. That's what they do in Canada.
Get you to that extra weight.
Go to it.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Fred, and Wesley. What's our first story, Fred?
Well, our first story, if you go to AFN.net, the first Associated Press story that you will see there this morning is a picture. That picture is of a bit of a love fest that was carried out in the Oval Office last Friday afternoon. And that's when Elon Musk, the head of the Doge team, he had lived out his 130 days that he was allowed to head up that team. And President Trump just praised the wonderful work that Elon Musk had done. Well, if that meeting had been scheduled for this Friday, it probably would not have come off. Because in the last 24 hours, Elon Musk, who is now a free man, is describing President Trump's big, beautiful bill of tax breaks and spending cuts as a, quote, disgusting abomination. Those are the words being used.
You can have a beautiful abomination. You know, there are distinguishing factors between a beautiful abomination and a disgusting abomination. And, and Elon Musk went with the disgusting.
Yeah, he unloaded on his ex, which he owns. I'm sorry, but I just can't stand it anymore. This massive, outrageous, pork-filled congressional spending bill is a disgusting abomination. Shame on those who voted for it. You know who you did wrong. You know it. End quote.
Mm. That was on. He posted that on X. Elon Musk did.
Yeah, he's allowed to post there.
Yeah. All right. So you have this rift now between President Trump and Elon Musk.
Yes.
They had the bromance.
Yes.
For a few months, and Elon Musk did some great work in exposing waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government. At least I thought he did, and his team did. But he left to go back to Tesla because Tesla was hurting because of his absence and because of his political involvement. He had been attacked by the left. I understand both sides of this. Well, let me
this
just
is
say
two
this.
Friends in a fight.
I understand what the philosophical difference is here, but I don't understand the minutia of it, and I don't have the time to invest in that too much.
Right.
In terms of, so President Trump is pushing this big, beautiful bill. Was that what they call it?
Mm-hmm. That's what he calls it.
And critics of the bill within the Republican ranks, like Elon Musk, for example, include Senator Ron Paul. Now, he may be, I don't know, maybe they're...
Rand Paul.
What did I say? His dad?
Ron, yeah.
Okay. So there are a few others, but few brave to speak. Few are brave enough to speak out because they will be slapped down by President Trump and his team there in the White House, as Rand Paul was yesterday. President Trump said nobody in Kentucky likes Rand Paul. He votes no on everything. That's what he. When President Trump turns on you, as
you
I've
get
said
everything
before,
but the kitchen.
Yeah, he's gonna pull your pants down. Okay, that's the way I phrase it. And then 2 days from now, you're golfing with him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I couldn't deal with that, but some people can, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. By that I mean I don't mean people don't have their political differences and then they can be friends. They can, but the way Trump sometimes hits below the belt makes it hard to make up. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But President Trump would say, and Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who is a conservative, would say, no, this is the best legislation we can get, and over time it'll help the economy and we'll be able to stop the bleeding in terms of the national debt, which is now at $37 trillion.
$37 trillion.
Let me say one other thing on this, and then I'll stop, and you guys can comment on it. Here's what the truth is, in my humble opinion. The USS, this is going to sound so depressing. The ship USA is on the river toward the Niagara Falls of, in terms of the what this debt will do to our economy eventually. But there's nobody on the USS America headed toward Niagara Falls because we're still out there on the river and the rapids are increasing a little bit. But there's nobody going to say, hey, we need to stop spending, stop doing this, stop doing that.
We need to pull this off the banks.
It's too painful. It's too painful to do. So, and the boats aren't there, and people are living in the moment, as is President Trump. He doesn't want the economy to go down on his watch. So he's going to try to do the best he can for the moment and let the future worry about itself. And that's the way it's been in Washington for a long, long time. And so this is really nothing new. Rand Paul's prophecy and others that eventually this will cause doom and gloom for the American economy, this debt that we have, is probably true. But that's been predicted for 20 years now, that the debt at $5 trillion of debt. Right. Oh, my word. We're going to $10 trillion of debt. Oh, my. What? I remember asking a congressman on the air 10 years ago, whenever it was, on this program. I said, when does the American economy crash and burn? $50 trillion in debt? And he couldn't answer me because there is no real definitive answer, because who knows how much you can go in debt. And I think President Trump and the congressman up there now are living in the moment. I'm not saying President Trump doesn't care, but I'm saying he's in favor of this. It does increase the debt, but he's going to be retired in 3 years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
leave it for the future people to deal with. But I don't think the future people are going to deal with it either until we have some sort of 9/11 economic.
Well, I think two things quickly. President Trump is betting on, if I can put it that way, that his policies, even if it temporarily increases the deficit, is going to lead to a huge, hugely successful and growing economy, which will bring in tax revenues that can then help decrease the deficit. The second thing I would say, and I like your
Niagara Falls.
Your Niagara Falls thing. Here's what I would just add to this metaphor. The only way to turn the ship around and
right,
avoid going over the falls, like we see sometimes on movies, is to start throwing stuff overboard. And everyone says, yeah, okay, we need to do that, but we don't want to go over the falls. But then when you reach for their stuff, they go, well, not that.
Right.
And everybody's doing that. And so nothing gets thrown right overboard. And by that, I mean making
That's
significant cuts.
Yeah.
And so we're just waiting until we can hear the rapids.
Right, right.
We don't
right
actually know how close we are to going right over them.
Right. So anyway, the bottom line is Elon Musk is no fan of this big, beautiful bill.
No, and it's a rift. To this point, the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, they have had a look at this bill. They came out with a report this morning. I'll just read you one line here. The bill, making its way through Congress, will cut taxes by $3.7 trillion, but also increase deficits by $2.4 trillion over the next decade. That is their assessment of the bill as it stands. Now, Senate Majority Leader John Thune had some comments on what Elon Musk is saying, and he's kind of explaining the way you guys have been talking here, that the positives of the bill will diminish the deficit over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to have a listen to him, cut number three.
The administration has identified a number of wasteful uses of taxpayer dollars, and we will be taking up this package and eliminating this waste. And if Congress doesn't act, Americans making less than $400,000 a year will see a $2.6 trillion tax hike in 2026. It talks about modernizing our military, making America energy dominant, securing our border, and making sure that the American people aren't faced with a $4.5 trillion tax increase at the end of this year. It's interesting to me that what they are going to be fighting against is border security, modernizing our military, making America energy dominant, and they are going to be voting for the largest tax increase in American history. We are excited to be working with the President and working with our colleagues in the House of Representatives on the agenda that the American people elected last November.
Yeah, so that was a montage of John Thune comments over the last couple of days on this. So in the CBO report that came out this morning says the estimates an increase of 10.9 million people without health insurance under the bill, including 1.4 million who are in the country illegally. You got to be careful and add some context when you're going to be reading these figures today. The Trump administration is very clear. No, there are no Medicare cuts, no Social Security cuts, no Medicaid cuts. But what they're doing is removing people who they deem shouldn't be in those programs.
Right.
In other words, the strong, healthy male who should be out there working. A lot of these people have found their ways into Medicaid in particular. So they're saying we're going to go after those people who should not be taking advantage of these programs, and therefore that will represent a saving against some of the increases in expenditures, for instance, on border security.
I got a question. So outside the obvious thing that we would not agree with, and that's adding to the national debt, which is a biggie, set that aside, what's in the bill is defunding Planned Parenthood. That's in the bill, right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. So yes. So is there anything else in the bill, or is there anything in the bill, not else, is there anything in the bill that a conservative
I'm reading it.
Or a Republican?
So, I mean, if you give me time this afternoon, I'll be
did,
on the,
did you notice my eyes were not directed at you?
Yeah, no,
because I was.
I'm on page 749, yeah. But it's going to take me
and
a while.
Okay, let me rephrase the question. In the talking points okay. for the conservatives, is there anything in here that we need to be concerned about?
Well, I mean, as apart from the talk yeah, of the debt and
like,
all that.
That's well, right.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, right?
Yeah.
She said yesterday or the day before, she's the congresswoman from Georgia who's I'm generally a fan of. I mean, yeah. She says some things that I go, what in the world? But, I mean, for the most part, she's
– Yeah. She's a live wire.
Even she said like 2 days ago, what? I didn't know that was in there or I wouldn't have voted for it.
Nobody does.
She said that yeah. out loud. I was yes. going like, wait a minute. They're supposed to read. They're right. supposed to have time to read it.
And if not, then their staff.
Their staff yeah. to alert them to what's in there. That's why, listen, I.
This is, like you said, this is the way the game has been played right. for the last 25 years.
Yes, and it will be.
Yes.
And it will be like this until we go over Niagara Falls, yeah. if that ever happens.
And then, pity the fool. Who's in the White House?
When, ask Wesley who's that quote from.
Yeah,
when that ship goes over, whoever's in the White House, they'll be going. It's you. It's you did
like,
it.
It's like a what do you call it? Musical chairs.
Yes, musical chairs. Listen, another thing I get tired of, because this is all games.
It is
in D.C. is over the next 10 years.
Oh, that's right. Right, yeah.
We're going to increase revenues by, right, right. and we're going to cut over the right. next 10 years. And the next Congress is right. going to make changes, but today all right. the members of Congress can say, well, over the next 10 years, we're going right. to save.
Yeah, that's okay. why they don't have to deal with the pain yes. of and the protest of cutting the government today. Go ahead, Wes. Okay. We want to move on. Or we?
I was going to encourage us to move on.
Yeah, I think
because
you're right.
This is, this
all in
is,
favor of moving on, raise your right. hand.
This is
we're going to move on. Fred, do you want to continue to talk about this?
No.
Well, it keeps me in business.
This is the subject. Talking about this over the next 10 years.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah.
This is a segment when I get back to my desk and I get an email that says, y'all sounding like honking geese.
Honking. Do you really get those?
I've got one before, and I think this is the segment he's talking about.
Oh, that's when we used to play Joe Biden listening to the honking geese
yeah,
in
yeah.
the background at his home. Remember that? It's like 5 years ago. We played that a lot.
Sounds
that
like that's what the guy
that was.
But,
really
but we was game. He was insulting us that way, though.
Yeah.
we're like honking geese?
Yeah.
Listen, if I want that kind of abuse, I'll just go home. All right?
She's not listening.
That's so hurtful.
It works out good.
It's really hurtful. All right, Fred, next story.
Well, in the wake of the tragedy in Boulder, Colorado, last Sunday, when the man from Egypt, who was in this country illegally, used Molotov cocktails
Do we need to say allegedly, or has he confessed?
Oh, no, he's confessed.
All right.
He's even said, I wish I had been able to kill everybody.
Oh, that's my. Right.
He has told. And this has been read out publicly.
Okay.
All right. In the country illegally. His family now, his wife and five kids, Kristi Noem, Homeland Security Secretary, says they are in custody and they are going to be deported. But the other aspect, the incident in Boulder on Sunday seemed to be a tipping point in this country where people are saying, wait a minute, this degree of anti-Semitism. Of course, the Boulder incident coming in the wake of the assassination of those two young Jewish couple last couple of weeks ago now in Washington, D.C. It seemed to be a tipping point in what is going on in this country. How is it in the United States of America we have so many people who are anti-Semitic, that hate the Jewish people? And I saw an interesting interview this morning, and you gentlemen are much more abreast of Major League Baseball players. Retired, I think he's a Red Sox player.
He was.
Kevin Youkilis.
Youkilis.
Kevin Youkilis.
Youkilis.
He was interviewed this morning. He is Jewish. I think he now, one of the things he does is coach a Israeli baseball team. But he was talking about a comment that came from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez recently in the wake of the Boulder incident, where she almost seemed to discover that there is an anti-Semitism problem in this country. I want you to have a listen to what he had to say. Hear his heart on this. Cut number 7.
The Jewish people are just tired. We're tired of having to deal with so much hatred. We're tired. And, you know, and the one thing that I've seen is just a lot of Jewish people are scared. I've, you know, seen a lot of people talk to a lot of people about what they're doing on their own. Even people becoming gun owners that probably never would have been gun owners a long time ago and were anti-guns. But for me and what I've seen and the rhetoric, it's just the globalized intifada is a triggering word for a lot of Jewish people and for Israelis. For people that don't know about the intifadas and do the research on it, it's not even just about Jewish people. Intifadas create chaos and create a lot of destruction on both sides of the fight. And when we hear this rhetoric and it's pushed out in our universities and on the streets, it just has to stop. It brings a lot of fear. Right. It stokes the violence.
You know, one of the other survivors in Boulder, Colorado there, he used an interesting phrase the other day. He says, Jews in this country are now being hunted. That's scary. Mm. That's scary. We're being hunted. And there's real fear. And it crosses Jewish people who vote Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever the case may be. We have a problem that needs to be dealt with. It was manifested first in the university campuses, but it's going well beyond that now.
I think this is the reason it's getting worse and is not worse. When Kevin Youkilis says it needs to stop, it's not going to. And the reason is this is part of an ideology. Mm-hmm. It is an ideology that is anti-Western, anti-West. It is Marxist. And it will use any idea that is hostile to Western ideals. So that's why you have a bizarre partnership between the homosexual community and Hamas.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no logical reason why members of the LGBT community should be in support of Hamas, because they would get thrown off a roof in most Muslim countries. But it's all part of an ideology that seeks to overthrow the ideals of the West. And in this country, the target is the Constitution.
Yeah.
Yeah. The anti-Semitism or anti-Jewish sentiment is heightened today because of the Israeli-Gazan war. And it's in the news all the time, and it's also social media. We can talk more about this, but that's that, along with just the supernatural element of it as defined in the Bible. We'll be back momentarily.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, just wrap up what we're talking about here, and then we're going to go to Jenna Ellis. But we were talking about anti-Semitism and what that is and how it's manifesting itself now in the U.S., what happened in Colorado, for example. I remember my dad, God rest his soul, he passed away, you know, in December of 2023. But he went to the Holy Land many times. And but I remember him saying, you know, he would say, well, they'll be fighting till the end of time. Talking about the Muslims and the Jews over there, especially in Israel and the surrounding area. And that's a pessimistic view, but probably a realistic view, because you have two viewpoints that are, now I'm not saying they're equally valid or morally valid, sure, but you have two steadfast viewpoints on Israel and its right to exist as a Jewish nation that aren't going to change. And they're just not. They're not going to change. So, and as long as that exists, you're going to have conflict in the area. Now, less conflict is when Israel imposes its power and strength militarily and so forth. But when they do that, they inflame the passions of people like Hamas and others who hate Israel, because they feel like the Jewish nation has no right to exist in the first place, because that's Muslim land. You see what I'm? I know y'all know this, but what I'm just telling you this: whoever's doing this show 50 years from now, if this show exists in American Family Radio, they're going to be talking about what's happened.
They're going to be talking about this subject. Mutually exclusive views. There is no compromise between one side that says Israel has a right to exist and the other side, which says all Jews should be murdered. How do you compromise on that? There's no compromise. There's no middle ground. These are mutually exclusive.
You add that. Now, anti-Semitism, again, is defined as anti-Jewish thinking, existed before Israel became a nation. Through history. So it's not just because of that. Obviously, we had the Holocaust go on in Germany during the Nazi reign.
Yeah, and all through the Middle Ages, there were Jewish pogroms.
I want to talk about that. Let's bring Jenna in. There's some things. Jenna, good morning to you, Jenna.
Good morning. Good morning.
I wanted you to come in now because I want you to comment on this, too. But go ahead, Ed. Finish that
thought.
Well,
I was going to say, throughout Christian history in Europe, whenever something would go wrong, if there was a famine or something like that, oftentimes the Jews were blamed. And they were either forced to convert or die or be kicked out of these little villages or cities. So what I'm saying is this has gone on for 2,000 years, the kind of anti-Semitism that we're talking about.
I heard an interesting interview the other day on Will Cain's show on Fox. It was with a Muslim scholar, Dr. Kanda Ahmed. She is a Muslim. She's with the Independent Women's Forum. Very conservative, but very knowledgeable of what she calls and what has been referred to as the Red-Green Alliance. So it's the red representing Marxist thinking, making an alliance with Islamic terrorism. Just have a listen to what she had to say. Cut eight.
I would like President Trump to address the threat of Islamist anti-Semitism from the Oval Office at 9 p.m., because this is a form of terrorism. These criminals, including the one that perpetrated the Boulder attack last night, an immolation of American Jews, including a Holocaust survivor, is a terrorist. He is animated by Islamist ideology. Islamist ideology has at its center genocidal anti-Semitism. It matches and marries in with far left victimhood ideology, ultra woke, what I call a neo-orthodoxy, and portrays himself and fellow believers to be minorities, and this ideology becomes bigger. We don't want any more posts on social media. We want a real address and these crimes prosecuted for terrorism with laws designed to shut down terrorism, which means following the money, shutting down the finances, just like we did with the mafia or other terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda, and so forth.
Hey, Jenna, go ahead and comment on what we were talking about here.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize that in the context of talking about anti-Semitism, it is always wrong to target someone just because of their demographic for any reason, an immutable characteristic like what gender we are, a national origin, age, you know, any of these things that we did not choose for ourselves. Those are all ordained by God, the place of our birth, all of those things. And it becomes even more tragic when it's specifically for a religious basis, like all of the anti-Semitism against the Jewish people. And Fred and Ed are right that this has gone back, you know, thousands of years, because this goes back to the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 15, where we see that God gave Abraham and his descendants the land. And Christians don't just support Jews in this because, you know, they in the Old Testament, they're God's chosen people, because it's a matter of soteriology or salvation. It's because we understand that God's covenants are eternal. And until the end of all things in Revelation and the conclusion, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, when the earth as it is today is still here, God's covenant remains. And so we are faithful Christians when we recognize that God's covenant to Abraham and his descendants, the Jewish people, is eternal, and that the Jews are the ones that are entitled to that land.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. No, listen, I got no issue with that. And it seems like over the last 150 years, as Christians began to study more about the end times, that a lot of teaching has opened the eyes of evangelicals, for example, to understand, listen, God still has a plan for the Jews, and they play a part in the end times. And that's why I think you've seen evangelicals grow in support of the nation of Israel, especially since 1948 when the country was established, because they see it as a critical component of God's work in the earth.
Yes.
Let me go ahead, Wes.
One of the things that I was talking with Fred about over the break is that, just for a moment for our listeners, you know, a lot of people aren't able to keep up with the day-to-day things that are happening on college campuses, and even go back to the history of how we've gotten the issues that we're talking about today. But how I was explaining to Fred, if any other group expressed the violence that the pro Hamas groups did, that would not be accepted.
Right.
I mean, if a Republican group acted the same way against any other thing that they disagreed with, that would not be okay. But yet, for some reason on the left, why let me ask Jenna, why are they tied up to defending or ignoring or supporting these protests and just anti-Semitism in general?
That's a great question, and you're absolutely right, because we as Christians can't even disagree with those on the left. Otherwise, we're called hateful and bigots and all of that. But yet, when the left commits actual acts of terrorism and violence, somehow that's excused. And I think this goes all the way back to truth, where Satan does not care in what way you violate the word of God and in what way you disregard the truth and promote evil. All he cares about is that we do not promote truth in the things of God and that evil persists. And so when we have a nation that is at a crossroads, I think even more so than at other times in American history, when we have, you know, the rise of the religion of LGBTQ, we have the rise of the religion of Islam, we have the rise of the religion against anti-Semitism, against the Judeo-Christian founding. This is really ultimately a clash between right and wrong, good and evil. And so the left that wants to persist in perpetuating evil and allowing for it and continuing to promote that in society is going to try to excuse that and justify it and applaud it even affirm it, when of course they're not going to treat the truth and Christians the same way.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. That's Jenna Ellis. Jenna is with us as our guest this half hour. I'm Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, and we're talking about the anti-Semitism and giving you a little historical perspective on that issue. Jenna, do you want to talk anything about this dog bark box thing?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
tell people what that is and what happened here.
Yeah, so speaking of promoting good and restraining evil and Pride Month and all of this, well, listeners know that my two dogs, Todd and Copper, are, you know, very dear to me, and that of course means that I love to give them toys and treats and things. And there's a subscription that you might be aware of called BarkBox, where you get it once a month and it's always a theme of toys. So for June, for the month of June, I got a text message that said, you know, we're now doing the Pride collection. So I reached out to their customer service and said, hey, I'd like to skip my subscription for the month of June because the Pride collection goes against my sincerely held religious beliefs. The customer service said, no problem. We respect that. And we'll skip for the month of June. Great. Right. That was a great idea. So I took a screenshot of that and I posted it on social media and said, good for BarkBox. Newsweek, of course, because a lot of journalists follow everything that I post on social media, grabbed that, had attention to that, reached out to BarkBox and said, you know, hey, why are you, you know, what do you think of this? Why do you even promote the Pride collection? And that apparently caused an internal conversation that was then leaked from a Slack channel from BarkBox, where the leadership actually said that they wanted to pause all paid ads and lifecycle marketing pushes for the Pride kit effective immediately. This message said, while celebrating Pride is something we may value, we need to acknowledge that the current climate makes this promotion feel more like a political statement than a universally joyful moment for all dog people. We wouldn't feel comfortable running a promotion centered on another politically charged symbol like a MAGA-themed product. It's worth asking whether this is the right moment to run this particular campaign. This isn't about backing away from support. It's about tone and ensuring our marketing remains inclusive and welcoming to everyone in our community. Right now, pushing this promo risks unintentionally sending the message that we're not for you to a large portion of our audience. Now, Tim, what was so funny about this is that when this leaked and went viral over the last couple of days, the LGBTQ community, which has said, you know, we can't have children, so our pets are basically like our kids. You're now slamming us, and we're canceling our subscriptions. They're canceling more subscriptions now to BarkBox than conservatives. So today, the CEO released a message basically weakly apologizing, going, no, we love all of you, and we still have the Pride Collection available, but notably did not actually deny that they're pausing the campaigns and that they're not going to be pushing this. And so now I think they're sending the wrong message to everyone that they're trying to play both sides by pausing the campaigns, good for conservatives, making LGBTQ mad, but then still saying, no, but we're still an ally to you and we have these Pride products available, which of course makes conservatives mad. So Newsweek is going to be following up with another article shortly.
So this Wesley here, so what I'm hearing is that they should probably stay out of politics altogether.
Yes.
That would have been the better move. What I told Newsweek. Yes.
And your dog's names, what, Cain and Abel? What are your dog's names? They caused all this without even knowing it.
I know, right? That's what I had a friend today.
Todd and Copper.
Yeah. Yes, they are unfortunately.
I know what you did, Ed. I got you.
Political agents.
They have a popular Instagram channel, don't they?
They do. The Adventures of Copper and Todd. So we have a lot of listeners who go and see cute pictures of them there and follow them. And I have videos of us opening BarkBox every month. And when they're cute themed, like New York City or like Valentine's Day, roses and macaroons, like it's really cute. And these are quality toys, but unfortunately now is advancing an agenda. So we will probably be canceling our BarkBox subscription after this.
What? Somebody needs to invent this for humans.
They do. It's called Uber Eats.
Just like when Allison would call me the first of the month and say, hey, your mystery toy box.
Yeah, maybe not a toy box. Yeah. But yeah. So this is two toys and
your new
two
seven
bags
irons in here.
They do that for sports. They have a box. They have a baseball box, a golf box. They have those.
Really?
I'm very
serious.
I need
to sign up. Father's
Day is coming up, Wesley, so now you know what to get.
Once a month,
for Father's Day.
All right, Fred, on a similar note.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, we know that major corporations in this country over the years have not been afraid to put their logos in gay pride parades.
Right.
And some will continue to do that. But ever since the backlash, you remember against Bud Light and Target, mm-hmm. This back in 2023, a lot of these corporations are now backing away. They're telling the gay pride organizers, hey, we're not going to put a float in the parade this year. We may send you a check to underwrite the event, but we really given, and there, some of them are saying the political climate in the country, the DEI initiative, anti-DEI initiatives, that sort of thing. We think it's better that we stay away this year.
Right.
So there's been a movement and very successful in pressuring these corporations not to be taking sides on this issue.
And I think it's great. I think the pendulum swings. I don't think these are principled stands on the part of these corporations. I think their skittishness is tied to because the LGBTQ community, that movement has been tied to the DEI/woke movement. And even though trans is in LGBTQ and has been forever, the backlash against trans individuals in women's and girls' sports, all that kind of thing, I just think these corporations do not want to be tied into the backlash that goes with that. So the LGBTQ community has overplayed its hand, and now corporations are getting skittish.
Yeah, and a lot of these corporations, who have to deal with this, you know, they have LGBTQ employees who some of them pressure corporate executives to, you know, give money to this event or to this cause or to put the pride. I just don't know. That's kind of run its course almost. I mean, there's nothing left to conquer for the LGBTQ community in terms of corporate America, I don't think.
But the polling is, and Jenna, we want to bring you back in.
Yeah.
The polling is going in the opposite direction. like the percentage of Republican men who are opposed to same-sex marriage has dropped like 7 points in just a couple of years. I think people have reached a saturation point on this. And the Bud Light thing, oddly enough, was just like a bridge too far. And polling is starting to slip in the other direction. So I don't know whether it's ever coming back in terms of corporations.
Yeah, and corporations, you know, would be really wise to recognize that if they're promoting a political agenda, then they're necessarily going to exclude the people who have a different political agenda. I mean, that's just the point. I mean, just like if a corporation sided with MAGA conservatism, then they're necessarily excluding the left, right? I mean, so just from a business standpoint, the Bud Light controversy never made sense in terms of the bottom line, but it was because all of this was being driven by the human rights campaign and all of these corporations to get this DEI score. And as this is becoming more and more uncovered, and the Trump administration is going against this, and I really applaud them for doing that, these companies are recognizing that in a truly capitalist society where the bottom line means you have to serve your customers, then things like boycotts actually work. I mean, we even saw, you know, with AFA that pushed the Target boycott for years. Just this June, as of Pride Month now, I've been seeing all across social media, instead of having a giant Pride collection, they actually have a giant July 4th collection, which is great. And that is genuinely inclusive to everyone other than the illegal immigrants that shouldn't be here anyway, so I don't really care. But, you know, it's genuinely inclusive. It's all Americans can participate in that. It's not a political message. It's one that is genuinely just, you know, hey, everybody can come and have fun.
You know, we used to meet, we American Family Association, meet and talk with corporations, you know, through the years. And a lot of them were meetings that we would have off the record, obviously.
Right.
But I'm talking about major house brand name corporations. You know, we would tell them, listen, how you deal with your employees internally is your business. We know you have gay and lesbian and whatever kinds of people, all kinds of sexual orientation. You know, that's your, how your HR treats you in terms of benefits and insurance and all. We don't care about that. The main thing we care about is promoting that agenda through your company to the general public, to the public. So that would include, you know, to us at least, promoting like gay pride parades and putting your name on it, because that's not something you have to do. All you do is say, hey, we welcome everybody to visit our stores and do business with us. We don't care what you are, what color you are, what sexual orientation you are, and we treat our employees fairly. But you don't have to get involved in doing things like what Jenna first started talking about here, this BarkBox company, where they go out of their way to get in your face with their
political statement,
and that's what companies are backing away from. And I think that's a good thing. And I do think with the election of President Trump, although the election had a tone difference in this country, I think with President Trump winning and him saying things like, I'm going to take away and do what I can to fight against girls, boys playing girls sports, for example. I think these corporations also said, hey, wait a minute. Over half the country pretty much doesn't want us pushing this in their face.
70%.
Like I said, Americans are basically live and let live, but we don't want to live and let live. And then you jam something in our face every day, all day, and say, hey, you need to applaud this. Come on now.
Right.
You know?
And live and let live was a lie anyways, because I think that's where they really jumped the shark on this, because once they started putting biological men in women's sports and you saw actual harm, they couldn't then credibly tell the lie. What does it matter? Who is it hurting anyway?
Right.
Well, there are now
very
some
literally.
Real injuries. Right. Yes.
You know, another interesting thing I've noticed, and there's a television ad that is changing the subject slightly, but related to the topic at hand. There's a television ad that has an advertisement for drugs that treat AIDS. Have y'all seen this?
Seen it. Yes, I have.
Unfortunately.
And it's got two men kissing or whatever. Anyway, it's got a lot of pictures of homosexuals together, male homosexuals. Have you seen this?
Yes.
But I'm thinking why are they stereotyping? That wouldn't be acceptable if a conservative says, hey, if you want to stop AIDS, then homosexuals need to stop having intimacy.
Huh. Right.
Okay. That's a sure way to stop it right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Instead, they say, they show these men, you know, either kissing or right up close, they're together.
Right.
And you're going like, so they're promoting a drug to treat AIDS.
That only happens.
That can be prevented by them not doing what you're suggesting they're about to do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of bizarre.
Well, even though technically anyone can get AIDS, it is primarily affecting the homosexual community.
It's a sexually transmitted disease.
Where does it start, though? Does it not start with two men?
Well, I'm not sure.
The AIDS virus, HIV virus?
Yeah, I'm not sure how it got started. Question. There's some question about its origins, but it was primarily in the homosexual community. And then the health professionals all said anyone can get it.
Right.
Which was technically true since it's a sexually transmitted disease, but it has primarily remained an affliction in the LGBT community, mostly homosexual men and who have sex with men.
The Bible talks about unnatural things.
Yes.
And the consequences of participating in them. All right, Jenna, we had some other stuff, but, hey, we'll do it next time. Thanks for being on with us, Jenna. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys.
Okay. That's Jenna Ellis joining us there. And we will be back after this short timeout for news on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.